Worship team, except for grace. Without grace, where would any of us be? If you would open your Bibles this morning to the book of Job. I truly believe that the Lord would have us to see some things here and help us to grow through His Word. Starting in chapter 1, verse 1, if we could stand together in reverence for the Word of God. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Can we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for speaking your words to my heart this morning, God. Lord, help me to deliver this message unto your people, Lord. Lord, by using your words only, not mine, but yours, God. Lord, with my wisdom would help no one, Lord, but your wisdom will always help us all, God. Help us to show us your way of salvation, God, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging you. And Lord, we will always give you praise, honor, and glory. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'm sure in this story that many of you have heard the story Job. How many of us have ever looked at our situations in our lives and said, I'm Job, I'm suffering, I'm the only one, huh? I think at some point in time we've all looked at our lives and going through the struggles that we've gone through and just kind of said, man, I'm really going through the fire. Why does God hate me? I remember the movie The Little Rascals and Alfalfa speaking. And the clouds parted and a voice came down and said, "Alfalfa, I hate you." I'm sure that's the way some of us feel sometimes. But in this book, I want you to see that there's greater testaments to God's grace and mercy than what we can actually see, I think, sometimes with our flesh and our eyes. That Job, according to God, was a perfect and upright man. Now, was he talking about Job in his actual flesh? Did Job not have a sin nature inside of him? Was he somehow transformed, transfigured into some kind of perfect individual? No. Job was a man the same as you and I. He was flesh and bones. He was human. But the thing that separates the flesh from the spirit, again, is faith. Faith is the thing that makes us righteous before God. According to the scriptures, faith is what made Abraham righteous before God. It was not his deeds, it was where he had his faith. And Job, in fact, had his faith securely fixed on the Lord, to the point that he trusted the Lord so much that all the time he offered sacrifices for his children, for himself, for his friends, that he was a true minister to the point of that he looked out for everyone else. Now I want you to see something here. In verse 9 it says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now here Satan is giving a challenge to God. He said, well, God, the reason that he trusts in you, the reason that his faith is so strong, is look how you blessed him. You've given him everything that a man could want in this world, and then you've put a hedge of protection around him that I can't even get through. So of course he's going to bless you. Why wouldn't he? But the Lord allowed Satan and said, you know what? Go ahead. Go ahead and attack all of his earthly possessions. Go ahead and attack it all. But don't harm him in the person. So Satan went out and attacked all that Job had. And even in that, the Bible says Job did not sin. So Satan came back again and appeared himself before the Lord. And the Lord reminded him again, have you considered my servant Job? You know, you've allowed you to take everything he has, and he's still blessing me. He said, yeah, but, you know, what would a man give for his health and his life? He'd give everything he had. So if you just take that from him, if you take away his health, he's going to curse you. He said, all right, you go ahead and attack his health, but you don't take his life. So Satan covered him with head to toe in boils, to the point that Job had to take a broken pottery and scrape all the boils on his skin. Now, I don't know what that would be like. I can imagine in my mind, but there's an old saying, except you've walked a mile in my moccasins, you don't know what I'm going through. And that's pretty much it. That we think sometimes we're going through the real fire, but when we face someone else who's really going through it, you know, our problems seem to pale and fade away. You know, we look at the situation in the economy today, of the job struggles, money, trying to make ends meet. And Yet, we still question in our hearts, like, God, why aren't you helping me out here? I'm busting my tail and I can't make it work. And you complain, and then all of a sudden, God reveals someone else who doesn't even have a house to live in. They live in a cardboard box with sticks above their head. And you say, whoa, wait a minute. According to the world economy, if you make $5,000 a year or more, you are in the top 10 percentile in the world as far as wages go. You're the top 10%. So all of us here, I can venture to say, we all make over $5,000 a year, so we're in the top 10% on the world economy. That's favor. That sounds pretty good to me. I never thought you'd be in the top 10% in the world. But going on in this story, Job's three friends hear about his plight, hear about how he lost all his possessions, hear about how his children were killed, and heard about the malady that was now in Job that he covered head to toe in boils. And then when they came and saw him, they didn't even recognize him anymore. And they cried themselves, and the Bible says that they sprinkled dust on their heads, and they sat with Job 7 days and 7 nights, and nobody said a word. That's a friend. Let me tell you, someone is willing to sit with you 7 days and 7 nights, and that says something. That says something about who Job really was. How many of you guys are willing to sit with your friends 7 days and 7 nights and when they're in their darkest hour? That's pretty rough. But something occurs here that is very common in the church world today. Of his three friends, the first one that speaks is Eliphaz. And Eliphaz, in his own intellect, begins to account, well, you know, I've never seen an innocent, righteous man being judged for unjustly for anything. It's always the guy who's done wrong, that's the guy God punishes. You know, how many of us know today in the modern world, in the modern church, in this word of faith movement, that if you have gain in your life, that's godliness. If you have achievement in your life, God has blessed you because of your righteousness. You ever heard that before? And the name and claim it kind of thing? That if there's something wrong in your life, God's judging you. If something has happened to you, that's because of your lack of faith. Any sickness, illness. I recall not too long ago that someone my dad knew asked him about his health. And he said, well, I'm not doing too well right now. I'm having to go to dialysis 3 times a week. And the guy just stopped him and says, I don't accept that. That's not faith. So instantly now, because someone's going through dialysis or something, they're locked into sin. They've screwed up, so God's judging them. Faith is not accepting the things that are going on in your life, but rather accepting those things, acknowledging those things, but believing God is working for our betterment. That is faith. Faith does not deny the existence of what's happening to us, but rather embraces those things and brings those to the foot of the cross so that God can take care of our problem, because He is our defender. He is the one that lifts us up and raises us up. Not this world, not what this world says. And this, his friend, Eliphaz, begins to tell Job about, you need to confess this secret sin that God is judging you for. That somehow, some way, though there's no way all this could have come about except you've done something wrong to God. Job proclaims his innocence. He said, no, I have not done anything. I have kept my faith in God. Even in all this problem, Job's own wife says, do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And Job has to correct his wife. He said, you're just speaking as one of these foolish women. Shall we not, we take good things from God, shall we not take, you know, when bad things come? God's still God. You know, and it doesn't say anywhere else in there where his wife stayed with him. And there are some Bible scholars that believe that even Job's wife left at this point. Whether that she came back or not, it doesn't really say. He does say that he had children later on after all this has happened. But it doesn't specify whether it was his current wife or that he had another wife or whatever. But either way, it does not mention Job's wife in this. But either way, she wasn't with him. She wasn't with him. How many can testify today when you're going through a problem or situation, it makes it 10 times harder when it feels like you're going through it alone? You don't have a friend or husband or wife standing behind you, but rather kicking you in the tail. That's a hard way to go. It's difficult for us enough when we're going through life struggles, when we don't have that real care and concern for us. You know, Jesus said, by this shall men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. If you ever have to find out what a definition of love is, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Describes what love is. And that's true love. That's God, agape love. And if Christ resides inside of us, His love is being demonstrated to a lost and dying world. If we don't have that love in our hearts, we have to begin to examine ourselves and find out what's wrong with our relationship with God. Because I want to say something here that I think bears to be said. That too much of the time, we as Christians want to think that I am right where I'm standing because I attend this church or I attend that church. And I have justification. But let me tell you something. Faith demands action. Because if God lives within you, the Holy Spirit resides in us, and He is moving constantly and pushing us to action. You know, I work out quite a bit in the gym. Now, Brian can attest to this, that just because you're a member of a gym doesn't make you in shape. Just because you're a member in a church doesn't make you saved. It takes hard work to build muscle. And you know, when you're building muscle, it's not something that you can't, you just do things just any old way. There's a prescribed method to building muscle. And that is you have to damage the muscle. Working out, when you work out properly, you actually inflict damage upon yourself. And when that muscle heals, it heals just slightly bigger and slightly stronger than what it was before. And that is That's the way of things. And so is it with the believer, that when our faith is tested, when we are pushed and we begin to work and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to do a work in us, He prompts us to action, and that the world may see not us, but He who lives in us. Warming your butts in a pew is not going to bring about God's favor and grace in our lives. It is when we allow God to move inside of us, that we can go out in the lost and dying world, begin to demonstrate the love that Jesus had for us to a lost and dying world, showing them the way to the cross, telling them that Jesus died for you, that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. But we forget that sometimes. Sometimes it's too easy just to sit down and relax and, you know, everything's good right now. I'm content. But even after all this, as Job is being falsely accused of his friends, and he continues his innocence, go with me to Job chapter 38. Job is questioning God. He said, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? How many times have we asked God why? When we're going through the very struggle of our lives, when we feel like heaven itself has turned his back on us, we ask God why. You know what? Asking God why is not wrong as long as we do it in the proper frame, as Job did. Job asked God why, but he did it with respect. He did it with an acknowledgement that God is sovereign. God will not be challenged. You know, sometimes we get in a place of saying that, you know, God, you just don't understand what it's like in this world. I mean, there you are up in heaven, and you're just letting me just get beat up down here. You don't get it. And we think ourselves sometimes too high and mighty. We begin to counsel God. We begin to tell God the way it is, and like, no, this is what you need to do, God. You know, Jesus himself asked why. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's okay to ask why, but realize God is still God. You know, Job was complaining about the circumstance and situation he was in. He didn't agree with God's plan. It's okay not to agree with the circumstance and situation you're in, but still give God the glory. And trust God enough that it's okay because God is still God. Jesus did the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We still have to recognize God is still a sovereign God. Now look with me, if you will, to chapter 38. Now, Job has his answer finally from God. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is it that darkeneth the counsel by words without knowledge? God's asking Job, says, Who is it that's bringing all these questions and still doesn't have any knowledge about what's really going on? Gird up now thy loins, like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Whoa. Job, where were you at when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you know? Tell me. That kind of puts things into perspective. God is a sovereign God. Sometimes we take God too lightly. You know, as Michelle was alluding to earlier, that we don't have good enough gifts sometimes because we don't recognize who Jesus Christ really is and what He really, really did for us. But I want you to know, even in all this, you know, Job was still humbled by God, and he repented of even questioning God. Oh, that we could get to that place of understanding that God loves us with a love that we can't fathom or understand. That He's working for us. He's working for our betterment. You know, you could be going through the struggle of your life. You could be going through the hardest battle that you've ever gone through in your life. You could be crying out to God, why? Why are you doing this to me? But we still have to recognize God is God. He cannot be challenged. He cannot be told what to do. We have to love Him and trust Him because He first loved us. His love was demonstrated to us. He proved His love to us. It's too easy sometimes to forget who Jesus really is. We forget that He's still God. He is God that came down in the flesh and dwelt among us and paid a terrible price so that the relationship between God and man could be restored. How is it that we know that God loves us so much? How is it that we know that His grace and mercy reaches deeper than what we could ever comprehend? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That when before God put this foundation of the world together, before He created the heavens and the earth, the plan was already set forth for the redemption of mankind. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing surprises Him. You may think that sometimes your circumstance or situation is too great for God, but it's not. It's not. You know, I marvel how many times that things happen to us and we're crying and we're complaining about what's going on in our lives, and a little bit of time elapses and we get out of this problem, and then the reality hits how God had everything just set up. That if we wouldn't have gone through this, or we went this way, that God wouldn't, this couldn't have happened. And yet, how many times has this happened in our lives and we still question God? Why? Lord, You just hate me. You just hate me. Boy, we are ungrateful people, aren't we? My mind goes back to a video that, you know, you may not have seen it here at the church, but brother was talking about amino acid protein called laminin. And if you ever question, you know, how much God loves us and the importance of the cross, this laminin, the chemical makeup, the structure of this forms a perfect cross. And this protein is what holds our bodies together. It is the glue that holds us together. You know, and that thrills my heart so much because I know that from the very creation, when God created life, the cross was there. The cross wasn't something man thought up to punish Jesus. The cross was something God thought up before the foundations of the world. That our very life is being held together by billions and billions of crosses. The very glue that holds our bodies together is held together by the power of the cross. And there's one great cross that spans the gap between God and man, that has restored the relationship that was severed by sin. That God, through His love and mercy, hung on that tree so that you and I could have a relationship again with Jesus Christ. That with God, again, that relationship was restored. We need God. Sometimes we don't always think that God is with us. We don't always see God in what we're going through. But I thank God because of what He did, because that relationship was restored by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus hanging on the cross, that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Because of that, in my darkest hour, I can still feel the draw of the Lord. I know He's there. I don't always get to see the results of God being there. I don't always have the answers. I don't always have knowledge. God doesn't always speak to my heart. God doesn't always speak to any of our hearts. But I know that I know that I know that God is there. He's in control. And I have to give Him control of my life. I have to relinquish control of my self-will and allow my will to be subservient to the will of God, to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in me that I cannot do. You know, when we sin, when we make mistakes, when we fall, you know, back before Jesus, there had to be someone else to make a sacrifice for your sins. You know, you weren't even worthy to sacrifice for your own sins. Someone else had to do it for you. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. But thank God that Jesus went before us, that He paid that ultimate sacrifice that we could be free, that now when we sin, when we fall, when we make a mistake, we don't have to go to some high priest somewhere. We have to go to our high priest that sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He intercedes for us, for our behalf. That all we have to do is turn His way, put our faith in Him, ask forgiveness of our sins, and the Bible says that He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are cleansed. I know when I make a mistake, when I fall, and I feel that still small voice inside of me, Paul, that is not what I created you to be. Turn back my way. I feel His presence. I feel His speaking. I feel His leading and guiding. I know He's there. I know that when I'm angry, when I'm upset, God still loves me. I've shared this story before, but I want to share it again. It's just a constant reminder. It's a reminder of a failure on my part, but also a reminder of how much God loves me. several years back, I guess basically in the youth of my business, that I had just accomplished the largest job that I had done. It was a pretty big job, and it was a big seal coating job. And let me just say this, seal coating does not work well when it rains. If it's wet, it washes away, and you are messed up. And I picked this particular two days to get this job done for this business because there was no rain in the forecast. And don't you know that 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awoken to the horrible sound of a clap of thunder and a flash of lightning. That no rain in the forecast meant rain on my seal coating job. And Julie will tell you, I stood up straight in bed, and I mean mad as a hornet. And basically falsely accusing God. I said, God, I asked for you not to rain. Could you not just do that one thing for me that I asked? For it not to rain? I mean, what's the problem, God? Come on. You know what I have to do. And I was just sick inside. And I was very angry and upset. And if I were God and that was me, I shouldn't even be here today. I should be struck dead somewhere. Because let me tell you, it wasn't a pretty sight. You know, when I got out to that job site, there was an area like this where the seal coating was washed off. And even on top of that, the owner of the business said there were some kids that came through there in the middle of the night and were like sliding through the wet seal coating, thought it was funny, and they kind of messed up the parking lot. And he said, you know what, I'll give you extra money if you can kind of fix that up for me too. And that extra money bought my next load of seal coating. God was still looking out for me. And you know, God let me have my little fit. A few days later, when it all kind of calmed down, I felt the Spirit of the Lord just speak to my heart. Does your love for me depend on whether you get good things from me? I'll tell you what, it's amazing to me how the Word of God can just bring you from one place, suddenly just bring you down to reality. Just a few little simple words. I said, no, God, no. If you never do bless me in any other way ever again, you've done more for me than what I can ever praise you for. No, it does not, God. I'm sorry. Lord, if you give me the strength, I'll never question you again about this. And so far, you know, no matter what happens, I give God the glory. You know, and had it not been for those situations, you know, we went through a lot of things. We went through a tremendous fire. We're at a place where I had all my equipment stored and everything was burnt up. And the insurance company bailed and we didn't, but God still blessed because God was in control. God is in control of your life. God is still patterning your footsteps, still leading and guiding if we allow Him to. If you could stand, beginning to close. You bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to ask a question in your heart. Do you trust the Lord with everything? Do you really? Is your relationship with the Lord stable? Because all it takes is just a turn God's way, and everything is right. And I'm looking around this place today, and I don't see anyone that I know personally has not made a personal acknowledgement toward Jesus Christ, but we still have to be challenged in ourselves. When God asks you to go and do, is your answer, wait, hold on, give me a minute? If God asks you to speak to someone, are you pretty tight-lipped? And I'm not talking about the times that ordinarily we would, but for whatever reason, maybe we just kind of slip up that particular day. But talking about as a standard, as a normal practice, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Are you allowing God to have dominion in your life? The answer to that question is no. If you're not doing for the Lord as He would ask you to do, if that fruit is not becoming evident in your life, and it's not fruit that we produce, it is fruit that God produces through us. Because it's not our strength that we accomplish anything. If you're standing up and you're saying, you know, I'm going to go to church because it's my obligation, it's my duty, I'm going to talk to this one because I should, you're going the wrong way, brother or sister. When we stand up and we feel prompted of the Holy Spirit, you know, it may be difficult for us to go and move and do. We may have to do some work. We may have to put forth some effort. We may have to damage that spirit man a little bit so that we'll grow. But you know, without the working of our faith, it's not going to grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But when faith is put into action, it brings forth patience. And patience, hope. It's how we grow. We can't have everything laid out and just done nice and easy for us. We go through struggles. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 45. He maketh the sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Things happen. Bad things sometimes happen to good people. But we need to have faith in God. We need to trust God. Because He first loved us. You know, if He can look out for us in the smallest things, don't you think He's looking out for us in the biggest things? So trust God today. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I would ask You today that You would search deep within our hearts, Lord, and overturn even that hiding place, Lord, that we have not completely delivered over to You, that we still have that little place in our hearts that we're still trying to hide from You, God, that we're holding to ourselves. Lord, do that work in us that we cannot do for ourselves. Help us to completely lay our lives at the foot of the cross. Help us, Lord, that we would understand that You are looking after us. Give us that faith that we need to trust in You continually, day after day. And Lord, if that relationship is not right within us, Lord, Lord, we ask you right now that you would make that relationship right as we yield our will to the will of you, God, to allow your Holy Spirit to once again refresh and renew our spirits, God. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, for those that you're sending out, God, for those that you have anointed and established and set up, Lord, to speak your word, to go out and do the work that you have asked them to do, God. Right now, Lord, I pray a special anointing upon them, God. Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Lord, that you would open doors that no man can close. Lord, that you begin to use them in ways that they have not even experienced before, God. Lord, that your word would go out forth and penetrate the stony hearts, Lord. The broken hearts. That you would begin to show through them, Lord, your love that you have first shown to us. That all men might see that we are your children because of the love that we show one to another, God. Help us to show that love every day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.